You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Thy word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It's really a privilege to be back here another Saturday evening to bring forth the good news. People of God, this is good news. We're hearing so much bad news. But when we turn the television on, when we turn the radio on, we just hear bad news. But thank God we have good news this evening. And I pray that you will be tuned in and you will stay until the end of this presentation, that you will hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And decide in your heart to follow him. And those that have already been following him will be strengthened and encouraged to continue on the journey. We are still in the epistle of Paul to the Romans. And we are in Romans chapter 8. And we stopped at verse 19 last week. And this week we are going to be continuing from there. So let us pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for who you are. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your love. Thank you for your grace that you have allocated to us daily. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus that we will continue, O God, to look to you from whence cometh our help. Give us, O God, guidance in everything that we do, mighty God. Give us, O God, almighty Lord, your perspective, Lord Jesus. For you, O God, almighty, are always right. So we look to you right now, O God. Lead us, guide us into all truth. Let your word be that lamp to our feet and that light to our path. Father God, we pray right now for those, oh God, that are saved, that you'll continue to keep them by your mighty power. Oh God, help them to know that it is your word that transforms. So we pray that as we continue to glean from your word, oh God, lives will be transformed. And we pray for those that are not yet saved, that they will come to hear your word, oh God, and that they will open their hearts and receive you. Lord God, we thank you for what your word is doing. For eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, the things that you have prepared for those who love you. And we thank you today, O God, that you are revealing it to us by your Spirit. O mighty God, as we look to you this evening, Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you will fall afresh upon us. Father God, we pray that you will draw, mighty God, men to you, Lord Jesus. For your word tells us that no one comes to you, Jesus, unless the Father draws them. So we pray for a mighty draft among your people, O God. Breathe upon, O mighty God, people from far and wide, O God. And pray, O God, that their ears will be attentive to your word. And we pray, O God, that you will circumcise these ears, O God, that they will hear to obey. Lord God, we thank you for what you're doing. Oh God, work on the hearts of your people, oh God. Bring forth, oh God, that change that only you can bring. Lord, we thank you again for what you're doing and what you're about to do among us. And we thank you, Almighty God, that your words are not bound. And we thank you that as your word go forth on these radio waves, those who hear, oh God, will purpose in their hearts to obey. Lord, we thank you, we bless you, we praise and honor you as we look to you by faith. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. So we are continuing in Romans 8 and verse 19. We stopped last week, so we're going to recap a little from verse 19. The word said, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God." So creation is waiting, people of God, yearning to see God's people live the new life, the transformed life, representing God well. In this evil world, we are called to be representatives of Christ. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ, showing others the way, leading them in the pathway of righteousness. So we are called to live righteously and soberly in this present world so that others will see Christ in us and come to glorify his great name. So we are going to look at Romans 8:20. And the word said, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope." Paul was saying that creation was made subjected to emptiness, vanity, not willingly, but by God who has given hope to all of humanity. So from the fall of Adam, people of God, humanity plunged into sin, into darkness. But God has made a way through Christ Jesus. Remember, the word of God tells us that the word God even spoke from Genesis 3:15, telling us that the seed of the woman shall bruise the headship of the serpent. So Satan has no more dominion over God's people, people of God. But we have come to that place. We have to come to that place of acknowledging Jesus Christ as Savior and put our trust in Him. He is our only hope. Humanity's hope is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is our Redeemer and our Savior. So the world was plunged into darkness through one man, Adam. But the second Adam came and he redeems us by his precious blood. He has bought us back. And we know, as we put our trust in him, we know can be reconciled to God the Father through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. In time past, people of God, we were not a people. We had no identity. But now, through Christ Jesus, we can now have our new identity in him. We have hope. We have hope, people of God. Christ Jesus is our blessed hope. So we have been given the hope. Hope has been given to all of humanity. But we have to do something by putting our trust in Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Redeemer. So the fall came. Men plunge into darkness, but light has come. Jesus, the light, has come. So we now have to put our trust in Christ Jesus. So there is hope for humanity. Jesus Christ himself is our blessed hope. Look at verse 21 of Romans chapter 8. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the bondage of death. Sin has plunged us into death, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ are now in the glorious liberty as children of God. We are going to refer to Hebrews 2:14 and 15. The word said, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise," speaking of Christ, "took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." So Jesus Christ, he's our strong deliverer. And he came and he delivered us from the fear of death, the bondage of corruption that has been upon humanity. He came and he delivered us from the fear of death, who were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we were kept in bondage because of our fear of death. But Christ has conquered death. He has conquered the grave. He has conquered Satan. He has conquered everything that came against humanity. And people of God, as we put our trust in him, then we now will walk as the children who are liberated by the sacrifice that Christ has done at the cross for us. So we are no more enslaved. We are no more in bondage, but we are delivered. We are set free through the work that Christ has done at the cross for us. So people of God, we have to understand who we are in Christ. And let us not walk again as if we are in bondage, but let us walk in the freedom that Christ has given us. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So we want to truly walk in that freedom. We want to live as those that have been liberated from the bondage of corruption. He has conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. The grave couldn't hold him down, people of God. The word tells us that the grave had no power to hold Jesus down. The perfect God-man gave his life for us. And today you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. He has called us to live the abundant life right here on earth. And he has called us, people of God, to be fulfilled in him. But we can't be fulfilled if we're living the old life. We have to be now living the new life in Christ Jesus. And this life is life in the Spirit. So we are called to be led by the Spirit. We are called to be Spirit-formed so that we can truly respond according to the word of God in every life situation that come upon us. Our response is what counts. How do we respond in trials? How do we respond when persecution come upon us? How do we respond? Are we showing forth that we are born again, born of the Spirit, and being Spirit-formed and living the new life? We have to now show forth the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to live a life that truly represents him well. Look at verse 22 of Romans chapter 8. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. People of God, fallen earth is crying out. Fallen earth, this earth that has received the curse is crying out. It's travailing. And the word tells us there's a promise of a new heaven and a new earth. So this old earth, filled with curse and sin-filled earth, is crying out. Fallen earth is crying out. Every living creature feels the impact of the curse on planet earth. So there's a travailing. People of God, there's a travailing. There are bird pangs. They're travailing in pain until now. And people of God, this travailing will continue until this old earth and is passed away and the new earth comes. So this fallen earth is continuously crying out. Every living creature, everything here is crying out because of the impact of the curse on this planet earth. But people of God, we have hope. We have hope. We have hope to see the new heaven and the new earth as it's promised to us. So we as people of God, we shouldn't be despondent. We should be rejoicing every day of our lives because we have a hope. Jesus Christ himself is our living hope. Look at verse 23 of Romans 8. And not only they, but ourselves also. Paul speaking of us also as Christians, the saints, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. So Paul was saying that even us, the children of God, we also are groaning and we have the pledge. We have the guarantee of the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we are still groaning. We are still travailing because we are still in this mortal body. So we are travailing. We are groaning and waiting for the adoption to culminate. People of God, there's a final phase of our redemption that is coming. The final phase is coming when we meet Jesus face to face, when we see him as he is, and when we go to be with him. So Paul was saying, we are also groaning. And people of God, we are groaning deep inside our hearts, crying out for the adoption to culminate. People of God, we are adopted, but we are still here on fallen earth. The adoption papers are signed by the blood of Jesus Christ, but we are still here on earth. We are in the adopting agency just the same. We are not gone home yet. But God, Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm coming back to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you will be also. So the adoption has to culminate. It has to come to its final phase. Our redemption, people of God. We are now in the process of our sanctification. We are preparing to meet our Master. And as we yield to the Holy Spirit, more of Christ will be seen in us each day. Each day we will represent him well. We will show forth his glory and his praise, and Christ-likeness will be seen in us. And on that day when he comes, we will see him for who he is. We will see him and we will be like him. We will share in his glory, people of God. We will share in his glory. So while we go through right now here on earth, our mind should be on the glory that we are going to share with Christ. If we put our minds on the trials and the tribulation and the persecution and the hardships that we're going through, then people of God, we're not going to enjoy this life here on earth. But we are called to live the abundant life. We are called to live a life fulfilled, a life in the Spirit. We are called to be led by the Spirit. We are called to walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the desires of our fleshly nature. We are called to live the new life. Live it right here on fallen earth until Christ comes back and take us home. He promises that he's coming back to take us home, to be with him. And his words are true. He is God. He cannot lie. So he's coming back, and our adoption will reach its final phase, and we will be with him always. We will reign with him forever. People of God, we have a hope. And because of that, you and I should be rejoicing every day of our lives. We shouldn't have our heads hung down, for he is the lifter of our heads. He lifts us up. And even right here on earth, we can still be shining. We can be the light in this dark world. The world was plunged into darkness, but light has come. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when he was speaking to his disciples, he says to them, you are the light of the world. And he's speaking to us today through his word. You are the light of the world. And once we have really, really accepted Jesus Christ in our heart, we are called to shine. We are called to live the new life, that somebody will come and inquire, why are you so different? Why are you so peaceful? Why do you have so much joy? Even in these rough times, you are still rejoicing. But God is saying to us, as we go forth as children of light, shine, shine. Don't put your light under a bushel, but shine that light brightly, that others will see Christ and will come to know him, and will also be there waiting for his coming, and will be also in that resurrection when he comes. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to evangelize the world. Go forth, tell somebody about Jesus. Tell them of his goodness, and make sure that your life is matching up with the words that you are speaking. Make sure, people of God, that our lives speak. Our life should be the living epistle. Somebody might not read a Bible, but they read your life. Is your life showing forth Christ? Are you an ambassador for Christ? And are you living the new life, being Spirit-led? We have to stop, ask ourselves, people of God, are we representing him well? Look on verse 24 of Romans 8. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? The word says, Paul was speaking here. He said, we are saved by hope. Hope. We are saved by hope. We are rescued by hope. Who is hope? Christ Jesus himself is our hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So when we look at hope here, hope is used along also with faith. But without hope, they are really merged together when you look at it. But they are two different words. So Paul was saying that we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Look at Hebrews 11:1. It said, faith is a substance of things hoped for. This is what faith is. So we see faith and hope going hand in hand. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So you are confidently expecting. You don't see it, but you are confidently expecting. So faith is a substance. Substance is something that is real, that you, it's tangible. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence, you have the evidence. So you, the evidence is in your spiritual eyes, can see the evidence, but it is not yet manifested physically. So you don't have it to show someone that this is it. But deep down in your heart, because of your faith and your confident expectation, you know that it is coming forth. You know, you can see it in the spirit, but it's not yet manifested. So people of God, we are called to be people of hope. We cannot let hope die. Hope is always alive because Jesus Christ himself is our living hope. So we do not hope for what is already seen, but we confidently expect to see what is not yet manifested. So we have that confidence, that steadfast confidence that it is coming. So as we look for Jesus Christ, we might hear of his coming. So many times we hear that he's coming from when we were little children, but we still, people of God, confidently expect his return. We still confidently await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to keep hope alive. And remember, what a man seeth, if we see, why do we yet hope for? But people of God, as we continue to walk by faith and not by sight, we are seeing things in the spiritual. Christ reveals himself to us in such a way that we will see and know and understand and remain steadfast in the faith, remain steadfast, looking for his coming, awaiting his return, expecting him at any time. So we have to be people of hope and knowing that as we live this life, we have to live expecting. As we pray expecting God to send the answer for us. So we have to be people of hope and faith. Look at verse 25. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Look at what the word said. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. People of God, we are going to be people who persevere amidst difficult circumstances because what? We are expecting. We are expecting. So if we continuously remain steadfast and confidently expecting the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we will endure. We won't give up. We will endure and we will wait for him. We will persevere amidst difficult circumstances. So people of God, we want to be people of hope. People who are always expecting, people who are looking for the return of Jesus at any time, people who will persevere amidst hardship, amidst difficulties. So we don't want, people of God, when little trouble come, we become hopeless. The world is hopeless and the world is groaning, looking for hope. Are we pointing them to hope? So we have to remember that we have a living hope. Jesus Christ himself is our living hope. So our expectation should be from him. We are looking and expecting for his return. We are looking and expecting him to answer our cry as we cry to him daily. So he is the one who answers our cry and he comes through for us. He's always on time. So as we continue to live with hope, we are living each day confidently expecting the Lord to move on our behalf. We are confidently expecting him to return for us at any time. So we live that new life. We live that Christ-like life, bringing honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26 of Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us, which groanings which cannot be uttered. People of God, Paul was saying, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. People of God, many times we are weak in certain areas, but the Holy Spirit is here to help us. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. I am going to send my Spirit to live with you, and in you, you have help. People of God, many times we don't get help because we don't run to the Lord and cry out for help. Help is with us. The Holy Spirit is our help. He's our paracletos. He's our standby. He is with us every step of the journey, but we must acknowledge him. Many times we acknowledge everyone else, but we forget to be aware of the truth that he is with us. He is in us. And the words that he prays for us, he helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. To be truthful, many times we don't even know what to pray for. Many times we come with our list. But these are not the things that we should really be praying for. But he knows exactly what our needs are. And he prays according to the will of God. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. People of God, these groanings cannot even be uttered from our mouth. Deep groaning in the inner recesses of our heart. The Holy Spirit groans on our behalf. He intercedes on our behalf. And he intercedes according to the will of God. He knows what's best for us. And sometimes our list that we bring to God is for our own selfish desires. But he knows exactly what we need. So he knows our weaknesses and he helps our infirmities. So we are to know and to honor the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are to honor him, acknowledge him in every area of our lives. Let us not just say, Holy Spirit, we need you for church on Sunday. But for the rest of the week, we don't acknowledge him. We must become aware of his presence with us and walk in truth and holiness, walk in reverence to his great name. God is with us. God is walking with us. He's living with us and in us. So we should live an honorable life, honoring the God who is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And we need to walk in that light of his word, showing honor and glory to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will come in my name. That's what Jesus said. And the Holy Spirit has come in his name. And we are to reverence him. We are to give him the respect that is due to his great name. And people of God, we are to know that when we don't even know how to pray, many times we fall on our knees and words cannot even come from our mouth. But he is making intercession for us with groanings that cannot even be uttered from our mouth. People of God, we have a prayer warrior. The Holy Spirit, many times we call ourselves prayer warriors. We are no prayer warriors. The Holy Spirit is the one who wars for us, for he knows exactly how to pray for us. God bless you here this evening. And we pray that we will just keep running to the Lord, keep running to the Holy Spirit, and asking him to help us when we truly need help. Remember that we have a hope, a living hope. Christ Jesus is our living hope. God bless you here this evening. We're going to stop here this evening and continue from here next week, God's willing. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. And I pray that these words have surely blessed your heart. Let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for your word to us this evening. Thank you for reminding us, Jesus, that you are coming back for us. Thank you for reminding us of the blessed hope that we have in you. Thank you for reminding us of the Holy Spirit presence with us, that he is with us and he intercedes for us. And we thank you, Almighty God, that you are always looking out for your children and that you are always making a way out for us. So we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory and honor as we look to you by faith and give you thanks for your word. Let your word be that lamp to our feet and that light to our path as we continue, O God, on this journey. We look to you by faith and give thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And continue to glean from the word of God. Blessings to all. Amen.
Lord is love. Reproofs of instruction.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.